Welcome to Trinity Dallas. We pray that this message will be a source of encouragement and hope in your life today. Enjoy today's message.
Today I'm going to be talking about defeating the spirit of mammon. Defeating the spirit of mammon. I've been talking about faith, how important faith is, how faith is the currency, really, of the kingdom of heaven. Last week I talked about generosity, the generosity kind of giving that really honors God. And today I'm going to be talking about the spirit that will keep you from being in faith and generous all at the same time. Something that we all have to deal with. I believe we're entering into a great season. The season that we're entering into happens in every generation, but there comes a moment where the wealth of the generation ahead of us is going to be redistributed to those of us here that are left. And it's going to come down for us. And God is going to begin to give us vision and understanding into the future as those resources come available, what it is that He wants in this city, in this community, the nation, the world. And then He raises up visionaries to speak out what He wants. And then those resources then are attracted to that vision, and God's will is done. And so that's why I'm really excited about this year's Vision Builders, because I want to talk about really two things that I think will be interesting to you. One is I'm going to share with you the biggest announcement I've ever made as a pastor. And secondly, the greatest vision that we've ever had together. And so I'm interested and excited about you being there. God's made a promise to all of us through Abraham. God made a promise to all of us through Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you." Watch this now. Here's the pay dirt. "And in you," everybody say he's talking about me now. "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And so it's God's desire to bless the people of God. It's God's desire to bless the people of faith, the children of Abraham, those folks that have made Jesus their king, the kingdom their domain, and those folks who love the Lord and want to operate and live their life in faith, the same kind of faith that Abraham had. "In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." The Bible says in Isaiah 45, verse 3, this is God speaking. He said, "I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, I am the God of Israel." It's God's desire to bless you. And I know immediately, you know, that devil pops up and says, "Well, that's all they talk about here. It just claim it, take it, name it, get it, whatever." No, I'm simply sharing with you today, this is what the Word says. This is God's heart. Just like your heart is to bless your children, God's heart is to bless His children. It's a blessing. Just like if you had a family business, one of the things you want to do is invite your children to become a part of that family business. God has a family enterprise, a kingdom enterprise. He wants all of His children involved in that. And what He's in is blessed. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22, it says that the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. And there is going to be a redistribution of income, of revenue, of money. There's going to be a redistribution of properties. There's going to be a redistribution of all those things, because nothing that you own can go with you to heaven. It's going to be left to someone behind us, right? And so the question then becomes, how then do we tap into that life, into those blessings, into that lifestyle? Well, there's a problem. Jesus outlined the problem in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but," he says, "lay up for yourself treasures in heaven." Treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves cannot break in and steal. Now, here's the bottom line for Jesus. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." God is always after the heart. He doesn't need our time. He's got plenty of time to go around for him. He doesn't need our talent. He's got plenty of talented folks around. He doesn't need our treasures. He's got plenty of that in his treasury. What he's looking for is our hearts. That's what God wants. He wants our heart to go after him, our heart to believe him, our heart to take him at his word. That's what he wants, is our heart. He goes on to say in verse 22 that the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, then your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, then your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is dark, how great is that darkness? Verse 24 says, for no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. For you cannot, everybody say cannot. You cannot serve both God and mammon. You can't serve both. Now, these are the words of Jesus, and this is the first place in the Gospels that Jesus uses this word mammon. It's not a common word for us. It's not a word that we use in our English vernacular or everyday English. I mean, we just don't use that word very often. And so this word mammon is literally translated riches or wealth. But if you read it just without any modifier or without any kind of understanding about what Jesus is talking about, you would think that people who are wealthy or people who are rich are bad people. But that's not what this is saying at all. It's not what this is saying at all. This is really talking about not just riches and wealth. It's talking about the idolization. What do I mean by that? Making your stuff an idol, making your stuff an idol, making your money an idol, making it an idol where nobody else can take part in, nobody else can use it, nobody else can be a part of it. It really is talking about the debasing influence of material wealth. That material wealth has a debasing influence if you let it, if you let it. One author said it this way. He says, earthly goods, property, and riches. Mammon is the things of this world that divert our attention and our love from God to the pleasures and the comforts of our earthly desires. Therefore, it is not money that's the problem. Money's neutral. It is not wealth that is the problem. God wants you to be wealthy. The problem is the love of money and the love of wealth. This is what is the problem. The problem is you cannot serve both God and mammon. It's impossible, the Bible says. You can't play with mammon because the spirit's very powerful. It'll cause you to turn back on the day of battle. It'll forfeit your destiny. It'll ruin your relationships. And so we have to be very careful about it, because what I'm talking about has nothing to do with how much cash you have in the bank. What I'm talking about is a heart attitude toward the things of this world, towards the things of this world. You see, mammon in our city is a principality, materialism. Well, it wasn't, but several weeks ago that I was at the intersection of Preston Road and Mockingbird and waiting for the light to turn. And as I pulled up there and stopped waiting for the light to turn, I just noticed around me. And no kidding, there were $3 or $4 million worth of cars just right there around me. Rolls Royce, a McLaren. You know, if you don't know what those are, then you're not at the same level of materialism that I'm at. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, I was in the cheapest car there, and my car's not cheap. And so I was looking around thinking, man, I really would like to drive that McLaren right there. I mean, that is a cool-looking car. And I've been in that situation before where I'd really like to have that, or I'd really like to try that, or I'd really like to do that. But then after you have it, do it, or try it, it wasn't quite as satisfying as you thought it was going to be. But my point in all this is saying that this is something that is a principality over our city, mammon. Several years ago, I live up north of here, just not far, Walnut Hill and Central in that area. And so every morning, I drive down 75 to Knox Street and then get off and go to work here. And so one Sunday morning, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, as I was pulling onto 75, looking straight at downtown, there was a cloud cover, a fog. It was actually a fog covering downtown, the whole area. And so you could see the bottom of the buildings, but the very top of the tallest buildings were in this fog cloud. They were in this fog cloud. And it was really interesting because, you know, I could see it, but it was also, I was under the effect of it, and it was drizzling. There was just a little bit of breeze that day, and so the drizzle was going from left to right and right to left and up to down to up. And so it was one of those mornings where, you know, nothing will keep you dry, right? I mean, you can carry an umbrella, but when the stuff is coming up under the umbrella in that little fine misty fog, you're going to get wet. And as I was looking at that and seeing that downtown, the Lord spoke to me. Mammon is just like that fog bank. In this city, it's impossible to go out these doors and not be saturated with materialism. It's just impossible for us. And we are subject to it. This is not a problem for rich people. It's a problem for God's people, right? And that's why there's so much warning about it in the New Testament. Lots of warning about it in the New Testament. Because this is something that once it grabs a hold of your heart, it'll keep you, it'll divert you from loving Jesus into loving something else. And what I've noticed about us Dallasites is that we are very, very good at putting on a game face. We talk a good game, but God, again, is interested in our heart. What does our heart go after? What does our heart go after? The worship team today sang several songs that we did not collaborate with. About. They didn't know what I was preaching on. And I just love the lyrics of the one that says, you know, Jesus, you're all we need. That really is true. That really is true. And when we start looking at something else, you see, riches can be deceitful. They can be deceitful because what they can tell you is that they can fix all your problems. Anybody who's had money knows that's not true. But for those of us who've never had any money, we think that is true. It's deceitful. It lies to you. And there's some things that money can't buy your way out of, right? But money wants to try to make you think that if you have it and have plenty of it, and you got some hidden away for a rainy day, you're going to be secure and you're going to be okay. It's not true. Not true. Something can happen in a second to drain that and be gone and double that over and above that. And so you can't play around with mammon. It's a spirit that's so powerful, it will cause you to turn your back on the day of battle and forfeit your destiny. The Bible's full of examples of people who fell to the spirit of mammon. First one that comes to mind is Achan. Achan. You may have never have heard of Achan, but in Joshua chapter 7, it'll give you really his whole story. Joshua had taken the children of Israel, and they come all the way across the Jordan River, and their first stop, of course, was, my brain just went dead, Jericho. Jericho. That came back alive right there. It went dead and came back alive. It's a miracle happened right here on stage. Jericho. So, you know, remember what happened? They marched around Jericho. The walls fell. Well, before the walls fell, Joshua says, look, if you find any gold, you find any silver, you find anything of value, all of that goes into the treasury of the Lord. Don't take any of it yourself. Well, Achan, as he's fumbling through the city, finds some gold, he finds some silver, and he finds this beautiful coat, this Babylonian coat. And he takes it and he hides it in his tent. And so off they leave then from Jericho up to Ai. They get to Ai, and they have a battle, and the people of Ai fight them back and kill 36 Israeli soldiers. So Joshua pulls the whole army back and said, whoa, what happened here? And as they begin to discern, they find out that Achan has taken something from Jericho. He's hidden it in his tent. So they bring up all of Achan's livestock, all of his servants, all of his children, and he and his wife, and they kill them out there in the desert and pile up a bunch of stones on top of them and said, don't forget Achan, what he did. Because Achan took the despised thing, the thing that was supposed to go to God, he took it to himself. He fell to that spirit of mammon. Gehazi is found in 2 Kings 5. Gehazi was the servant of Elijah. Gehazi really acted on behalf of Elijah. And one day, Naaman, who was a Syrian general who had gotten leprosy, had no other choice but to go to the house of the man of God and to find out what he could do to get rid of leprosy. He wanted Elijah to lay hands on him and pray for him. So he gets to the door there, and Gehazi goes in and tells Elijah. Elijah said, I don't even want to see him. Go out and tell him to dip into the Jordan River 7 times, and when he comes up the 7th time, he'll be healed. Gehazi went out there and told him that. So sure enough, Naaman went, the Syrian general went, and 7 times he dipped, and he comes out no leprosy at all on him. He's totally healed. And he starts heading back to Syria. And he's heading back to Syria. Gehazi thinks he's a rich man. Elisha should have extracted an offering from him, but he didn't. So therefore, I will run him down and I'll get the offering for myself, which he did. Well, the only problem is that when you work for a man of God, God tells him what's going on with you. Right? And so Gehazi comes back to the tent of Elijah, and Elijah said, why did you take that money? Why did you take that from Naaman? And, you know, Gehazi's, therefore, since you took that from him, I'm going to give you what he had before, leprosy. And from that day forward, Gehazi and all of his relatives had leprosy until the day they died. If you'll notice something that is really true about this spirit, the spirit that hit Achan, the spirit that hit Gehazi, the spirit that hit Judas. Judas went out for 30 pieces of silver, and he hung himself after they had arrested Jesus. Ananias and Sapphira, both of them died at the altar of God because they tried to take some of those things. They wanted to glorify God for themselves rather than give it. And so in each case, in every case, it's the same scenario that when you do this, it doesn't just impact you, but it impacts your children, your children's children, and your children's children. You see, Achan, all of his children died in the desert. Gehazi, his children, and children's children all had leprosy. Judas hung himself. Had no heirs. Ananias and Sapphira died at the altar because they stole the glory of God. Now, you don't want to mess with this spirit, because what happens is it doesn't impact just you, it impacts you and your children. It'll cause you to fail. It'll cause you to fall to fear every time. There are 4 aspects to the spirit of mammon. Real simple. You'll get this real easy. Because we live in it. The first aspect to this spirit of mammon is greed. 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 Greedy for money. Lusting for money. Willingness to lie for money. Willingness to steal for money. Willingness to cheat others for money. Hiding it. Being secretive about it. Not being willing to be open with those that you should be open with about it. And so it is that whole idea of greed, of greed. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul writes to Timothy, his spiritual son, he says, for the love of money is a root of all kind of evil. It's an important passage because we learned that money in and of itself is neutral. Wealth by itself is neutral. It is the love of money. The love of your objects, the love of your wealth, the love of your house, the love of your car, the love, whatever it is that you're into, your clothes, whatever it is you're into, that's the foundation for all sorts of evil. It is the love of money. It's the root of all kinds of evil. for which some have strayed from their faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The early church had this problem. And let me just say this. If the early church had this problem, you and I can also have this problem. Let me say it again. This is not something that we're talking about lives far off in India or somewhere. We're talking about something that impacts Dallas, Texas. It is a principality, a principal spirit over the city. Over the city, right? Judas. In John chapter 12, verse 4 through 6, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, says, who would betray him, said this, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. So this lady comes in to where Jesus and his disciples are having dinner, and she brings an alabaster bottle, a beautiful alabaster bottle, full of very costly perfume, 300 denarii. This would be a year's wages. She brings this perfume, and she lavishes it on Jesus' feet. And once she has used every bit of it on his feet, she takes her hair, and she wipes his feet clean. Judas, looking at all this, is disgusted. He's disgusted because he's thinking, you know what? That alabaster jar and that perfume could have been sold for 300 denarii, a year's wages, and all that money could have been given to the poor. But the Bible exposes his heart. He'd give a rip about the poor. He used to put the money in the money box, and then he would take it for himself. Why? Because he was a thief. Now, Jesus had 12 disciples, and one of them was a thief. One of them was a thief. He was the best disciple picker in the world, right? I mean, he's the best one that ever lived, and even he got one who was a thief, right? And so this is not something that is just phenomenal Christians, that they're not mature and they don't get it. No. The further you go with the Lord, the more it oppresses you, right? Oppresses you. You think, where I could have been if I had done this. If I hadn't have given that money to Vision Builders last year, wow, we'd be swimming in money. No, you wouldn't. You'd be broke and in debt. Security. First aspect of the spirit of mammon is greed. The second one is security. Mammon offers you temporary security in exchange for your eternal destiny. Mammon offers you temporary security in exchange for your eternal destiny. In Mark chapter 10, verse 28, Peter began to say to Jesus, see, we've left all and followed you. What are you saying there? Remember, we had a boat and a business and we made money and we were somebody in our community? We left all of that, Jesus, hello, for you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there's no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wives or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. Not when you get to heaven, now. That's a powerful scripture right there. This is not Paul talking. We're not on the next to the top. We're talking about God talking here. And so he says, look, you're going to have brothers, houses, sisters, fathers, mothers, wives, children, lands. You're going to get that 100-fold now in this time. When I was in my late 20s and early 30s, I read this verse, but I didn't believe this verse because I was too concentrated on all the things I didn't have. Things I didn't have. I was in the oil and gas business when the price of oil and gas in the season went from $30 a barrel to $10 a barrel. We produced it at 20 bucks a barrel. That means that every barrel we made, we lost $10. It was terrible. My banker was also an elder with me of our church. I defaulted on a $250,000 loan to his bank. You can imagine how that board meeting went at the bank. he's your pastor. Yeah, he's one of the elders in my church. Oh, okay. And we've just given him $250,000, which he squandered. Yep, it's gone. It was tough times. It was very, very difficult. And Nancy and I were living in a house where, it's a great story, but we were living in the cabana of a really large house. The cabana had about 600 square feet to it, and Nancy and I and our son, Joe 3, lived in that little 600 square feet. He promised that we could stay there for 6 months. We were broke. We had no money. We could stay there for 6 months, but we ended up staying there for 4 years, 4.5 years. And it was a very, very difficult season. But now, looking back at that season, I can tell you that this little kid from Hickory Valley, Tennessee, has been to almost 80 nations around the world, stayed in homes of believers and saints all over the world that gladly shared everything they had with me, thrilled that I was there. I've gotten brothers and sisters that I didn't even know existed. You think about, why are we in this room together if God didn't have a purpose for our lives together? People that have fathered me, women of God that mothered me, brothers and sisters I've done ministry with, all over the planet. And I left all. My all wasn't as great as what Peter's all was. My all was, I was pretty happy to leave it, to be honest with you. But God has restored everything to me 100-fold or more or better. It's amazing. It's amazing. And so the Bible says that God will give it 100-fold now in this time, not when you go to heaven. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands, persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? Because that is the eternal security that all of us desperately need. We desperately need that. It's the knowledge, the knowing that if I were to die today, I would spend eternity in heaven. That knowledge, right? That knowing. The third aspect of the spirit of mammon is materialism. Materialism says that life consists in the abundance of things that you own. What you have, right? But the answer, the truth is that life doesn't consist of those things. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus spoke a parable to them saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do since I have no room to store my crops?' His barns were full. His silos were full." I mean, he was making all kinds of grain and doing very, very well. And so he said, "Look, I'm going to do this. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build greater ones. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" Sounds like he went right off into retirement, right? Built him a big barn and big silos. And after he got them all full, got them all built, got them all paid for, he thought, "Man, I'm going to take it easy now. It's going to be really just awesome. Now all I have to do is eat, drink, and be merry." It's kind of like guys who spend their whole life looking forward to retiring, and within 18 months, they die of a heart attack. Right? Listen, if there's something in your heart you want to do when you get older, go ahead and do it now because you may not get older. And if there's something that you're waiting on that's going to sort of fulfill your life and make you just feel awesome about all your achievements, let me just tell you something. It's going to cost money. I mean, you'll be paying out the gazoo for all the ways your grandchildren tear it up. Yeah. God said to this man, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God, so is that one, just like him." If you haven't been to a estate sale lately, it is a great spiritual exercise. It's phenomenal. Because they put up signs all over the neighborhood and you go right through the front door, right through the front door, into this world that belonged to this family for years. And they got all the little things that they have collected. They got all the little toys and all the little figurines and stuff. You know, they got little shot glasses from all the bars they've been to. They got you know, all the, and the good stuff, the good, like 8-10 different, you know, kinds of china. You can only eat off one, but they got 8 or 10. And as you're walking around and you realize that I am looking at somebody's life. This is their life. This is what their life was all about. They collected this stuff. They gathered this stuff up. They stored this stuff. They wanted probably their kids to have it, and the kids didn't want it. And now here walks in Joe, a total stranger, doesn't know them, doesn't know the family, doesn't know anybody. And I'm looking around, looking around, looking around. And guess what I saw in there, the last one I went to? A bowling ball. And the bowling ball was engraved, champion of this and this, this, this. And I just picked that bowling ball and said, I'll take this. $1. The bowling ball. I'm out. Am I out of battery? I'm okay. All right, fantastic. And so if I was lucky, let's go back a little bit. Thank you. So I was looking at my bowling ball and getting in line to pay for it. I realized this guy had spent hours and hours and hours and hours practicing bowling. He'd finally won a tournament, and now a total stranger was walking out the door with his trophy. All that time spent practicing, all that time and excitement over winning came to $1. $1. Why? Because you can't hook that bowling ball to your ankle. If I said something else, to your ankle and go to heaven with it. Yeah, all you lost people know how that sounds, right? I'm kidding. The last aspect is fear. Fear. People of God are paralyzed by fear. Fear causes our faith to shrink in the day of battle. Fear. You could say fear is almost the mother of all these other ones, right? We're afraid for our country. We're afraid for our community. We're afraid for our schools. We're afraid for our economy. We're afraid there's a recession coming. We're afraid that a pandemic may hit again. We're afraid that we're going to not have enough money for retirement. We're afraid our investments aren't going to do well. We're afraid the stock market's going to crash. You name it. You put it in there. Fear. But Jesus said, Matthew 6, he said, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and body, more than clothing? Just look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they gather, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? The answer is none of us. None of us. Fear paralyzes us. Just being afraid. And I'm telling you, this is the mother of all these other ones. We're just fearful. We're fearful that we won't have enough, so we're greedy. We're fearful that we won't be secure, so we store it all up. We're fearful that we won't be liked, so we collect a bunch of junk that our kids don't even want. Fearful. So I believe that God wants to release the wealth of the wicked. He wants to release the wealth of the sinner. He wants to bring us the treasures of darkness in our generation. But we have a foe. The foe is the spirit of mammon. Spirit of mammon has the aspect of greed. It says, get more, 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 more. Whatever you got's not enough. Security. It says you better hold on to me if you want to be secure. Materialism. Somehow that your success is defined by your possessions. And fear. Fear says if you don't worship me, you'll have a great lack and you'll be rejected. You see, the first commandment says that we shall have no other gods before the God. But mammon is a false god. Mammon wants to take the place of Jesus in your life. While you're still talking about Jesus, going to church, get your hands in there, worshiping Jesus, but in your heart, Jesus said it's far from him. Because why? Because we're more interested in what we can get, what we don't have, to stay grateful in what we have. So here's some keys to defeating the spirit of mammon. Number one, be a giver. Talked all about that last week. If you didn't hear it, then you can go on our website and get it for free. Listen to it. Be a giver. Number two, let's be people who respond in faith and not fear. We have lots of challenges. Politically, that's just one of them. Economically, that's just another one. But we got lots more than that. Health issues, retirement, we got tons of them. But rather than look at them and start worrying, let's start approaching them in faith. Now, Lord, what can I do for me and my house? What can we do here? Respond in faith, not fear. Move in the opposite spirit. See, greediness says, hold on, take more, be secure. Keep it right here. Keep it close. Guard it. Don't let anybody get close to it. You know how to beat that? Just open up your arms and let it go. Give. The Bible says, give and it'll be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, flowing over into your life. Be a giver. Be a giver. Respond in faith, not fear. Move in the opposite spirit. And number four, trust God. Trust God. In Dallas, Texas, the spirit of mammon is like a fog bank. No matter how many umbrellas you put up, can't keep you away from it. It's bound to touch you, right? It's bound to get on you. Okay? When you sense and feel that your allegiance is moving towards something rather than Jesus, that's the moment you just take authority over it. My life is not defined by what I own. It's not defined by what I have. It's not defined by the security that I feel. Not defined by the amount of money in my checkbook. It's defined by Jesus, by his word. I'm going to believe his word. I'm going to trust in his word. I'm going to walk in his word no matter what the circumstances. And I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to fear. And I'm certainly not going to worry about stuff I can't do anything about. And if I can't do something about it, I will do my part. But I'm not going to worry about everybody else's part. Right? My father this weekend, we were talking together. He said, Joe, I have a deep concern about our country. I said, well, Dad, you get an A+ on doing everything that you can do to make keeping our country strong. He said, what are you talking about? I said, you and Mom got together and started having children. And those children started having children. And those children started having children. Now there's, instead of two of us, there's 39 of us. And every one of them are God-fearing, country-loving rednecks from Tennessee. You've done everything you can do. You've done the best you could have done. You've done it. You have given us offspring who every one of them baptized, most of them, saved and love the Lord. And, you know, they're not perfect. They don't have perfect lives. But, hey, you did everything you could do, Dad. Hey, pass the baton to me. Let me see what I can do. And I'll pass the baton down to my son, see what he can do. Right? I'm not going to worry. Right? I'm going to respond in faith. I'm coming in the opposite spirit. Yeah, right? Come on. It's never as bad as you think it is because it's never as good as you think it is. Right? It always requires us to walk in faith. Let's all stand together. We have just a few tickets left for Thursday evening. Please, if you haven't gotten yours, go online, get them. I think at 200 is the cutoff because I think the fire marshal says 200 is all we can have up there. And so thrilled that you're coming. It's going to be an awesome, awesome evening. And then next week, I'm going to talk to you about the power of the seed. The power of the seed. because some of you will be making a seed offering this weekend. And I want to just tell you how powerful that is, okay? All right? Are you glad you came today? I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to say this, exactly what I say. Ready? You really needed this today. Yeah. Yeah. Father, in Jesus' name, bless all these folks as they go. Amen. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you'd like to dive deeper into today's message, go to trinitydallas.com/sermons to receive your copy of the notes. If today's message encouraged you, do someone else a favor and share it with them. Also, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. A special shout out to all those who partner with us through their giving. Your contributions have enabled us to touch the lives of people in our community, as well as around the globe. Visit us at trinitydallas.com/give.